Greetings, mobile accomplishers from CTIA 2010. We are podcasting in the morning after the big, big day.
And that's different for us, because normally we do this at like 2 in the morning after a cocktail or 5.
So we're going to probably put this up on 3 of the podcasts. I'm Dieter Bone. We're going to put that up on Pre-Central, and I am joined by...
I'm Phil Nickinson from Android Central and or... WMXperts.
So 4 podcasts actually will put this up on. Yeah.
That's confusing. You got to streamline that at some point. Choose, damn it.
I'd love to.
And I'm Kevin Mitchell at crackberry.com. We like blackberries a lot.
A lot.
A lot.
A ton. And, you know, we had a big day here at CTIA, so it's time to, you know, talk about what we saw yesterday. Who's starting?
Well, let's start with Palm, Dieter. We'll go from... alphabetically backwards.
Alphabetically backwards?
Yeah.
Okay, I like that.
So P.
So Palm Monday morning put out their press release that the Palm Pre Plus and the Palm Pixie Plus are coming to AT&T in the, quote, coming months.
Ooh.
Ooh.
It can mean so many things.
Well, I mean, in terms of guessing when it comes, we have a couple of clues. One, we haven't seen it hit the FCC in any way, shape, or form yet. What we have seen is actually the Palm Pre hit the FCC, but they're just not going to put that on AT&T. And then on top of that, there was, you know, the giant, exciting debacle of their quarterly financial results. And so they're not expecting to make much money next quarter, which to my mind means they're not expecting to ship a whole ton of AT&T phones right away early in the quarter.
Right.
So I'm guessing late May is our best bet for when it's going to show up on AT&T. I don't know that for a fact. That's my shot in the dark. Price is $150 for the Palm Pre Plus and the Palm Pixie Plus, $49.
Nice price.
2-year contract, $100 mail-in rebate.
Should they be giving away the Pixie at this point? I mean, why?
Well, pricing it at $50 out of the gate, official from the carrier, is essentially the same thing as giving it away. Because you know that Amazon and Wirefly and all those other companies are going to be, you know, putting it at free pretty much right away. Pixie Plus felt a little bit faster than the last time I used it. And I don't think that the software build that they were using, Iraq, they had a code name on it, you know, because they didn't. But I don't think it was like, you know, some super future version.
Well, you spelled it. No, you spelled it different.
A-R-A-K.
Oh, okay.
Not
I-R-A-Q.
No.
I'm like, it's smartphone wars to a new level here. It's, my God.
But it felt a little bit better, a little bit faster. But there's really not a whole lot else to say. You know, the only like super new interesting thing is that AT&T has got this deal with yellowpages.com. So they've got a YP mobile app that is actually like, it kind of almost, not quite, but almost gives Google Maps a run for its money. I'm not going to say that 100% because I haven't had a chance to really use it a bunch, just, you know, 10 minutes here, 5 minutes there. But uses Bing Maps, and it integrates much more nicely into WebOS than you'd expect. You can, when you find a location, a thing pops up. You can favorite it inside the app. You can add it to your calendar right away, and it'll add it to your calendar with the time that you actually want to go there. And then when you go into the calendar, I think you can click on a link to go back to the application and open it up in the maps. You can add stuff directly to your contacts. So it's kind of neat. But otherwise, I mean, that's what Palm's got, guys. The AT&T's coming and they can't say when, and they're cool, you know. Oh, the Pixie, you can get a blue back, which is, you know, whatever.
What's the general, momentum feeling from yourself and, you know, takeaway walking through a show like this?
For Palm?
Yeah.
You know, honestly, it's, you know, slow and steady at this point. I don't feel like they're tanking as quickly as all the stock analysts are saying.
Yeah, nothing moves as quick as like
right.
that.
But I mean, we're not seeing any. We didn't see any radical turnarounds, right? Yeah. And for some people, that means Palm failed. But for me, it just means that they're just, you know, steady as she goes.
So still optimistic. I'd like it to go still faster. A lot too.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, the Palm Pre Plus and the Pixie Plus, you know. It'll hold them over for another 6 months to a year, but they really do need fresh new hardware by the end of 2010. We need to at least see some hints of it. for them to, you know, keep on.
Keeping on.
Yeah.
Let's talk rumors for a second, because a couple days, or actually on the way out here, we start hearing rumors that Palm's going to ditch WebOS and go Android.
Yeah.
Actually, everybody's going to do that. Everybody's going Android.
What a ridiculous rumor. I'm sorry. What is Palm's number one asset right now is the OS.
Yep.
And, you know, that it'd be ridiculous for them to go to Android. You know, it doesn't make sense.
Whoever started that rumor, we're going to find you. We're going to hunt you down. We're going to hunt you down like we work for Palm or something. And just stop it. It's not going to happen.
No. But I missed the Palmcast yesterday. I did catch it for like a little bit. I snuck into the Palm booth while they were right before they started recording live, and got to see, if you were watching the Palmcast live.
The Palmcast, in case you don't know, is Pre-Central's podcast.
Right. Pre-Central's Palm.
So it's not a Palm thing. It's an us thing.
Right. Yes. Palm did not approve of me doing that.
Oh, really?
Of you trying to do it from their booth?
No, I was getting the evil eye in the worst way.
It happened.
It was pretty awesome, though. I started across the room, and then I'm like, should I go, guys? And they're like, yeah, sneak in there. Ninja. Like, I pick up my laptop and, like, sneak in, casually sit down on their little chair.
Recording live from Las Vegas.
Yeah.
That's funny.
So that's Palm.
That's Palm.
I wish I had more to say, but I mean, it's coming to AT&T. I'm glad. I'll probably switch. Maybe. I don't know.
You just got rid of AT&T, and you made a big deal.
I know.
Dieter needs AT&T SIM cards.
He does.
I love SIM cards. I love them. And I did not enjoy going to Mobile World Congress and like having my main number just disappear in a puff of smoke.
Hey, talking SIM cards in Mobile World Congress, did we ever figure out what this mini SIM card is, or what the iPad is?
It's a mini SIM card, and it's...
That what's actually going to be in the iPad?
Yeah.
Because the way I thought I heard him say it is, oh, by the way, it will accept this other form of SIM card that nobody actually
uses. It's a standard. Nobody uses it, but it's a standard.
Got it.
We'll see if it ever gets picked up, but... You know, it's sort of it. I don't know. In my opinion, it's Apple's way of saying, go ahead and stick your own SIM card in there if you can find one that fits.
Okay. Microsoft Windows phones. Let's touch on them. I don't know if there's much new.
There's nothing new.
They have a booth.
Here.
I saw it. I took a picture of it.
They have a booth. They have big, giant touch screens where it looks like you can interact with the entire OS, but all you can really do is like scroll on the home screen and tap stuff.
And they
but
had those at GDC.
Cool.
Yeah, we've seen that.
But they're not really showing anything new. There's no new Windows mobile phones, no 6.5 phones. They're not even really showing Windows Phone hardware. Like, even that LG isn't here. We did see that Asus prototype in a couple guys' hands, you know, sort of on the down low.
But the same one we saw in Barcelona.
Yeah, same thing. So, I mean, they're just – yeah, Microsoft's big deal was Mix last week. And I actually need to come on WM Experts and – talk about that again.
You just did 2 days ago.
I know. I think I should do it again.
Okay.
I feel like we need to decompress. Anyway, but there's nothing for Microsoft and Mobile World Congress to speak of. Do you agree, Phil?
CTIA. Yes. Absolutely. Yeah.
CTIA. Wow. So many shows.
That's crazy.
This is our third show in 3 months. Second one in Vegas.
Yeah. It's hard because like everybody travels for the holidays. And then CES, Mobile World Congress, Mix, CTIA.
And they're all, you know, most of the world hasn't been to one of these. I mean, they're all largely the same. It's booths, it's convention centers, even Barcelona, for being as far away as it is, it's the same feeling. If you've gone to one, you know what to expect the next as far as...
Yeah, I'm kind of done.
And you guys see from the hands-ons and stuff, I mean, what it's like and the noise and it's loud.
Yeah.
It's fun.
I'm going to go home and I'm going to, like, sit in my closet, the smallest room in my house, in like a cocoon, and not leave for 3 days.
Yeah.
Lights off, no internet connection.
You should just change your driver's license already to Nevada.
Oh, man.
How many days is it now in Vegas?
Well, it was last Sunday, so I don't know.
That's crazy. The resident status.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, let's talk Android. Cause...
No, we're going alphabetically backwards, and Android is last. I did this intentionally.
Okay. Well, then why did we start with Palm and not Windows Phone?
Microsoft.
Okay.
Manufacturer. Technically, we should have done Nokia next. BlackBerry, because that's just the way they are.
Okay. What
brand
the
name. Brand name, but not Windows. Screw off. I got a plan, guys.
You're going to go in the order you want to go.
I have a plan. I saved you a script. Did you not get the script?
All right, so what's next?
Well, we could do Nokia because I left it off, but there's nothing, so we'll just breeze over that.
Yeah, I honestly don't know what there is for Nokia. I looked. I can't find anything. I mean, they're here. You know, and I said hi, and they're pushing Ovi in their booth really hard. Everything is Ovi, Ovi, Ovi. And they're talking about OV Maps a lot, which they should be, because OV Maps is totally badass. But, you know, it's not new. So, I don't know. They had a big presentation Monday morning that I didn't go to. So, there might be something huge that I've missed. But I've been reading around at the other sites if, you know, somebody caught something that I've missed. And I honestly can't think of it. There's you know, the rumored next Symbian S3 or S4 or whatever device. But that's not here. It's just out there as rumors. So, they're not really a notable presence at CTIA.
Understood.
All right, well, let's talk Android.
BlackBerry, but it'll be short and sweet.
Damn it.
No, this is honestly of the shows I've been to, which I've never summed them up, but since I've quite a few shows since I started with the BlackBerry stuff and the CrackBerry stuff. This is the quietest show I've ever seen from a BlackBerry front. Yeah. RIM's made no announcements. They have a big booth. They have all their vendor partners there. You know, normally I run around with a video camera and get everybody on tape.
Yeah, you're not doing that this year?
There's nobody new or different. There's nothing for me. You know, a couple of people have announced updates.
Sometimes you get depressed at these shows.
Yeah, I'm very depressed.
What's going on? Are you depressed this time?
I'm a little depressed, but I'm not, because WES, which is RIM's annual big show, is coming up April 26th.
Right. So they're holding off for that.
I heard a little crying in the room late last night.
Yeah, they're holding off. So it's kind of like, I'm hoping it's a calm before the storm. Well, let's not hope the storm, but before the something. It's the calm before something.
Calm before the storm 3.
The only bit of news that was good was, like, we got a date on the Twitter announcement, the release of RIM's Twitter app, wow. March 31st. And, yeah, a couple new app updates, but nothing else.
That's still in beta, right? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's in beta right now.
Okay. But is it any good?
It's okay, but I don't think...
Does it compete well with a third party?
Yeah, it does. It's sort of like a very... I think if you're a basic, just want to discover Twitter, it's a decent client.
The Bolt guys were out here, right?
Yeah, Bolt added tabs. They added tabs. That's not bad. I think... what is it? Vlingo added a free text recognition, text reader thing, sort of like Drive Safely. To compete in app world, but just, you know, very minor things, nothing big to get everybody all excited about, but hopefully stuff is coming. And it's kind of like Palm. They're sort of like, I think, you know, RIM, I think, is still fairly optimistic. They got a development cycle that they're working on.
Yeah.
I think it's, you know, we're going to start to see a whole bunch of stuff happening. 6.0 is coming, WebKit's coming, next generation hardware's coming. I think what we're seeing now is a gap where they would have put out hardware sooner. But based on what the competition is doing, they said, "Whoa, let's pause and make this hardware even better."
Right.
And then push it out.
Well,
so,
the other thing with RIM is, you know, they've got obviously fine market share and it's still growing, and they've got better growth potential outside the US than Palm does.
Yeah.
And so they're just overall in a much better position, despite the fact that I still think that, like, their hardware is a little bit behind and their software is a little bit behind.
They have more hooks and a lot of opportunity.
Yeah,
big sales organization. They're very good at international growth. And what it, you know, the biggest thing we keep hearing is, you know, the North American market is very different to some of these other emerging markets.
Yep.
And where people don't even own computers in a lot of these markets. So the device is becoming their sort of connection to the internet. And it's communication first right now.
Well, see,
they're catching up on this stuff.
You need to start learning more about Nokia, because that's Nokia's big target too. And so RIM and Nokia are honestly going to start butting heads pretty soon.
Probably.
It's going to be fun.
Especially with RIM's kind of lower cost devices.
Nokia's are cheap too, man.
No, I know, but they're more than ever
coming
to butt heads.
Yeah. Yeah, those two companies.
That's the thing, right? Like, RIM will keep posting good quarters. You're not going to post bad quarters, but it's just not going to come from North America right now as much as it was until they do something exciting. So,
hey,
Phil,
wait,
Apple is next, not Android.
No. We got to go back to Windows Mobile.
Oh, yeah.
Because we discussed Windows Phone and not Windows Mobile.
Right.
Windows Mobile still exists.
Windows Mobile still exists.
Oh, okay, yeah, sorry. That's my bad.
The HD2 is Tuesday.
Yep,
what's today? Wednesday. As of Wednesday, officially available on T-Mobile for $200.
Nice.
A lot of really cool, like, just extra software on there that isn't, like, usually when you get extra software from the carrier, you're just like, ah, this is crap. How do I get rid of it? But some of the stuff on it is pretty
really
cool.
It's a really cool Blockbuster app. Yeah. You can stream movies. You can download movies over Wi-Fi.
Comes with Transformers.
And it comes with Transformers 1 and 2. Like, default movies, you're not just renting it, you're not streaming it. They're on the card. Yeah.
That's awesome.
It comes with Megan Fox.
Do you want to know, I actually bought the domain name ilovemeganfox.com. Like, when I came home from the theater after seeing Transformers 1.
Wow.
I think I let it lapse now, but I did. I had big plans for that originally.
You could have.
I was like, she's going to be huge.
So there is that, and we had a hands-on with that. And it's, you know, hardware-wise, it's the exact same HD2 that's been over.
Oh, no, not exact, because the send and end buttons are red and green instead of just white.
Yes.
Yeah, huh?
Yeah.
That's right. I noticed things.
We bring you the news.
Uh-huh. We should do a blog post on that. A full blog post. Breaking.
And Slacker Radio is now out for Windows Mobile 6.5.
Totally awesome. I love the Slacker guy.
Because we never did get, like, a real proper Pandora app. I mean, there's...
Yeah, that's right.
There's that hacked one that's been around forever. But, you know, Slacker's just a great streaming radio service.
No caching on WinMo, though, right?
Right. No station caching, so you have to be connected the whole time, either 3G or Wi-Fi, so it doesn't save to your...
It's just BlackBerry, and Android either has it or has it coming very soon that gets cached, local caching.
Android now has local caching.
Yeah, okay.
As of, like, 2 weeks ago.
Right. Ah, see? Yeah. I pay attention. We bring you the news.
Yep. Apple. Let's talk Apple.
They're not here.
All right.
Yahoo has a cool new search app that I have a totally out of focus crappy video of, so I have to try again. There's no search box on it. It's a local search, but you just pick your category and then you draw a circle on the map of where you are or where you want to go. And then it shows you everything that matches in that circle.
Mm.
Okay. I thought it was.
That is cool. Okay. No, it's cool. Mm-hmm. I think it's cool. No, my brain was spinning, so I'm like, Apple's not here. BlackBerry is. Maybe even if there is no news, I shouldn't be depressed because at least we're here.
Yeah. Well, Apple never comes to these things.
Yeah, that's true.
In fact, I'm surprised they didn't put out like some kind of press release about, you know, a billionth this or 100,000th that.
Yeah,
just right before the show, just to mess with people. Yeah.
A lot of accessory companies out here that show.
Yeah, well, Apple's hunkered down for the iPad. I mean,
yeah,
let's face it.
Yeah, that's what they're giving her on.
Coming out very soon, August or April 3rd. Ooh, really like soon.
Next week.
Yeah, I know.
It's going to be big.
It's in like Tippy, 9 days. Tippy.com.
What's your call? Is it going to be a huge success or a big failure?
I don't know yet.
It's going to be a huge bezel.
Hey, I pre-ordered. I switched mine to the 3G version, though. So.
Okay, everybody. Now, please go to the bathroom, get a cup of coffee, everything else. Because it's time for the Android show hosted by Phil Nicholson.
The true reason that Kevin's a little bit depressed. Oh, nobody pays attention to anything.
No, Kevin was a trooper because he and I were sitting through the keynote.
Oh,
you better thank me. You never thanked me for that.
Yeah, sure I did.
Here's the deal with the
Tuesday keynote.
Yeah, so it starts off with a whole bunch of rah-rah cheerleading about the wireless industry. And
Julian Genachowski wasn't there.
But
he came in via video. Yeah, and he looks like Matthew Broderick.
Yeah. He's a boy wonder, man. He's Genachowski. He's a dynamo.
So we sit through a whole bunch of industry talk. We need more spectrum. We're going to hit critical mass.
Can we talk about spectrum for a second? Is that okay?
You got 30
They're
seconds.
We're talking about spectrum right now.
So Lazaridis...
No, wait, as we're talking right now, Dan Hesse is talking about Sprint spectrum and why they went with WiMAX. It's actually kind of interesting. Anyway... Go ahead.
Well, so MWC, Mike Lazaridis did his semi-crazy off the handle, like the
Mike
world's going to end.
CEO of BlackBerry RIM.
Yeah, with the spectrum crisis is coming and you're all screwed unless you own BlackBerries.
Right.
I hope that never gets out to anybody else. That's just said. But it was kind of backed up yesterday by Ralph Delavega. AT&T. And, you know, he said the biggest thing is it shouldn't happen because they have a multifaceted approach to address it. And it's things like, hey, we got to open up more spectrum. That's happening, but it's going to take kind of years to roll it out.
Got to increase Wi-Fi use.
More Wi-Fi use, offloading to that. More LTE will increase network efficiency, which kind of artificially, you know, reduces load, et cetera, to get more bang for the buck. So it's all coming.
Is he saying that the problem is spectrum and radio towers, or is it the backhaul and the bandwidth to move the data around?
I think it's they're basically retiring bands and stuff that are in not used spectrum. Spectrum that's been already people have rights to, but they don't use to its capacity.
Okay,
so they're going to buy it back. And
here is what I want to happen to save the wireless crunch. Let us just keep on using the spectrum that we have. But everybody gets a femtocell, a little local tower for your house, when you buy a phone.
Yeah.
And, you know, you I don't think you should have to pay that much for it. I don't think you should have to pay monthly to use it. And just, like, literally, like, democratize the towers. And then we can have a Russian hacker come in and find a way to break those things free from these big carriers, and we won't even need carriers anymore. We'll just have Wi-Fi and femtocells. We'll have a citizen network across the world.
Have you blogged this yet?
That's what I want to have happen, man.
Have you blogged it though? That's good.
I haven't blogged it.
I like
that. That's what I want. I want the
death to the carrier.
So we're sitting in this keynote listening.
I'm
to
such
stuff.
A communist.
It's oh wait. Hang on. Wait, we're not.
No, this is on the point. One of the things Televega said though was that. And there's one company, major manufacturer out there, whose new web browser is 3 times more efficient than anybody else's.
Wow.
RIM's WebKit, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, it sucked. We don't know.
Wait, yeah.
But if it's fast and efficient.
So what phones is that going to work on?
Oh! I don't know if I want to... I'm going to save that for a Crackberry podcast.
Oh.
No. You can't talk about rumors that have not been rumored.
It's boring stuff. I mean, this Peter, is important. It's important stuff, but it's just boring to listen to, especially first thing in the morning. And then the head of Telefonica, which is a European...
Inagi.
Yeah, a European and Latin company. You know, and big, yep. Very, very big. So he's up there talking for 45 minutes. Important stuff again, but not really something.
Body,
that,
mind, and soul.
And you guys were thinking about bailing. About. Like, we were sending text messages.
We were thinking about Harry Carey.
Yeah, I was angry because I couldn't get pictures of the Palm Pre Plus, and I had to sneak into the show floor early to get them. And you guys were like, this is horrible.
And we were so close to just ditching the thing.
Yeah.
And then J.K. Shin from Samsung gets up and starts speaking, and he's alluding to they have something new. And we have this new way of life and new, just new. It's very cool. It's smart. It's S-Life. It's blah, blah, blah. And we're like, oh, God. This is going to be Bada. This is going to be that weird proprietary thing they announced that nobody just knows anything about, blah, blah, blah. He's just totally playing it up. And finally he's like, oh, yeah, I guess you want to know what it is, huh? Yes! Sure enough, it's new Android phone.
Yeah.
It's the Samsung Galaxy S.
Yeah.
And he holds it up, and everybody cheers.
It's hot.
And then immediately thereafter, we had a Samsung press conference, so I went and got in the front row for that. And that was very well done. Really huge room. They fed everybody coffee and donuts.
Didn't they have, like, dancing and...
There was a 20-minute... I'm going to get it up hopefully today, if not today, tomorrow. They did, like, a 20-minute production, like a play. Almost like Broadway. They had stagehands moving props around and stuff.
Don't you think that's a bit much?
Not when you see it. It's okay. Really well done. Right. I mean, it's cheesy, but it shows their vision of this phone in daily use. And I thought they did a really good job showing it. I mean, it's oversimplified, and, you know, here's Roger, and here's how he uses his phone for his life, and blah, blah, blah. But they did a really good job explaining their vision of it. And so many times we hear that, and it's just, okay, thanks, just give us the phone. But at the very least, this was entertaining. It was like 19 minutes long. It was really long, but really well done. So I've got the whole thing recorded, and we'll put it up.
Nice.
I don't get what Samsung is doing. Like, they announced Bada, and then the big next phone that they talk about right after this whole Bada thing is an Android phone. And they say, look at it, it's TouchWiz still. But it's not TouchWiz. There's no, like, the TouchWiz widgets aren't there, the little sidebar isn't there. It's basically just like a kind of a light, easy skin on top of Android that basically gives you a dock and, like, a couple other features for moving stuff around in the launcher. But it's really, it's okay. It's fine. It's, you know, about the same as Android. There's a couple nice features. Like, one of the coolest things about it is, you know, the notification bar? They put widgets inside the notification bar for toggling Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, GPS, and something.
Cellular radio, maybe. You know, like, when you have stock Android, you have that widget that's there automatically. It was basically that, but it was up in the notification bar, which is genius. Google, do this now.
Yeah, it's a really good idea.
Just got it off your home screen and out of the way.
The hardware itself, the screen is gorgeous. Super AMOLED.
My favorite word. I just shout it out at random moments.
Super AMOLED.
Super AMOLED!
It's really pretty. We haven't seen it outside, but they say it's 80% better, less reflective.
I'm hearing 90.
90?
90% better.
92.3?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I like that. What else? It's
well,
light.
Let's talk about the phone for a second.
Yeah, I'm trying.
One gigahertz.
I'm right here. It feels not super high-end hardware. The screen is, but the back of it's kind of a chintzy plastic, but it's super light. It's got like a reverse chin. It's got a chin on the back, on the bottom. I don't know.
It's a 4-inch Super AMOLED screen. We saw Super AMOLED for the first time at Mobile World Congress.
Yeah.
And I really hate talking about it and doing videos and pictures of it because it doesn't do it justice.
You can't really show a screen in these things.
It really is a beautiful screen, but the big deal is 20% less battery usage, 80% less reflectivity outdoors in sunlight. And they wouldn't let me take one outside to test it, no matter how much I begged, borrowed, or stole.
Stole. Did you really steal?
I could.
Okay. No, you shouldn't.
No, okay, that'd be bad.
We're going to carry, next time we go to one of these shows, we're going to carry around one of those natural fluorescent lights that actually looks like daylight. Shen's Natural Light.
So it's a 4-inch screen. It's beautiful. It's a nice phone. It's thin. It's 9.9 millimeters thick.
Yeah.
And it weighs nothing.
Weighs nothing. How big is the battery? Do we know?
1,500, I believe.
How do they manage to get it to weigh so little?
Galaxy yes, screen. 1,500 milliamps.
Is it a plastic screen?
It's 118 grams. You know,
I don't know. It's,
it might, well, it, they're it, using dark matter. That's why it's called nothing. The Galaxy.
I do want to say that the 4-inch screen is, I think, I've decided
that's the sweet spot.
That's the size I want. 4.3, a little too big. What's the next? It's 3.8?
3.7. 3.7.
What size?
It's fine. iPhone
3.6?
3.6.
Yeah, it's a little, a lot bigger.
It's okay, that. But like 4 inches is like feels super expansive without feeling like a tablet in your hand the way that the HD 2 does.
5-megapixel camera.
Yeah.
It records 720p video.
Nice. Yes.
HDMI out. HDMI out?
No, you're getting devices confused.
I know.
No. That's because we're waiting to talk about the big one.
What else? I'm looking at the specs right here because we need cheat sheets.
Okay, carrier availability.
Don't know yet. Nothing in the U.S. I mean, this is just one of those device announcements. Right. The radio bands we were showed, 1900, 900, and 2100, and I did that out of order. So no 850 band in the U.S.
Which means so it's not coming to the
no,
U.S.
No AT&T 3G.
For a while, yeah.
Bluetooth 3.0.
Ooh.
You know, interesting. We haven't seen many of those yet. Wi-Fi BG and N.
Cool.
16 gig or 8 gig memory, depending on who buys what. eGPS, all the blah, blah, blah. Yeah, they have the social hub, which is just another one of those ways to bring everything in. But it worked all right. I mean, you see in the video. I mean, it's not great shakes, but get that video up now, too. Actually, we'll have another video. We had the initial hands-on and then went back for a software look.
Okay, right.
So we'll get that up today. What else? It's a good phone. I would use it, I think. And it feels really good in the hand. Yeah.
So, what's up?
Oh.
Podcast fail.
Keep talking. Just keep talking. Why are you stopping?
So right after the Samsung event, I went to the Sprint event. And it was like scheduled to last like 2.5 hours or something. So I was really kind of nervous that I was going to spend 2 hours waiting for them to announce the device and then like 10 minutes talking about the device. But no, you walk in the room and they had it right there under a cloth. And Dan Hesse comes up and is like, "Hey guys, 4G is awesome. So is Sprint. Here's the Evo." I was like, "Damn."
And as this is going on, and Dieter's texting me like, "Oh, this is taking forever, blah, blah, blah." Yeah. I made my way over to HTC because I had a meeting with them.
Yep.
So I'm standing at HTC's booth and they have, it's like a wall. And then sections of the wall are almost like a museum, like cut out. So there are devices in there behind plastic. And one of them, it says coming soon, and there's a cloth over it. So you know what it is. We know it's this phone. It's the Supersonic or the Evo 4G.
Yeah.
So I'm standing there, and literally there's like 50 people waiting for this thing to be unveiled. And I'm telling HTC, I'm like, "It's been announced. It's out. Dieter's there right now. You know, I've got the press release. Here it is.
Okay,
you guys. So let's take the cloth up." So we're all standing there watching as they go and find some special screwdriver to undo the thing. 50 people at least all around. They all start cheering as it's taken off. It was really funny. The HTC guys are just like, "Whoa."
Yeah. Okay. So the Sprint Evo 4G, it's a Android device. And dude, it is, they demoed a lot of stuff on it. But it is a beast. It is a spec monster. Name something like the ideal thing that would go on a phone that could be built in 2010, and it's here. It is.
You thought the HD 2 was the shiznit?
Oh, it's ridiculous what this thing has got.
Yeah.
So, okay. Obviously, the big important thing is it's the first WiMAX phone, 3G and 4G. Okay. 1 gigahertz Snapdragon processor, a 4.3-inch huge capacitive display.
It's LED. It's not AMOLED or Super OLED or anything.
So
you know what? It's that huge. Yeah. That's fine.
Android 2.1 with the new Sense UI from HTC. It's, you know, GPS, Wi-Fi, you know, all that Bluetooth, all that standard stuff. It comes with software to be a mobile hotspot for up to 8 devices. So you can have your 4G stream to up to 8 devices. It has an 8-megapixel camera on the back, which takes HD video, of course. It also has a 1.3-megapixel camera on the front, and front-facing cameras is a new and strange thing for Americans. We don't know what to do with them. So they're putting Quick on board for streaming live video. What else? There's so much. HDMI out. It'll put out HD video. Kickstand. There's a new YouTube client that'll stream a higher quality YouTube video if it detects 4G or Wi-Fi.
Well, it'll just automatically kick into the quality.
Yeah. And the thing is just flat out ridiculous.
H.264 support.
Yep.
For those who care about such things.
I'm forgetting something. And like, okay, so the hardware feels really good. It's got a really nice soft touch back. It's just a little bit thicker than the HD2. It has four big, huge capacitive buttons at the bottom.
And unlike, I asked HTC about this because in Barcelona, with the Desire and Legend, which were their first new Sense devices, they specifically said, we went back to physical buttons because we want you to press something. That's the experience they wanted you to have. We're not sure, and HTC just didn't know, if this was, if going to the capacitive buttons on the Evo 4G was an HTC design thing or a Sprint design thing.
Right.
But it is different, and it just stood out because of what we were told in Barcelona.
Yeah.
It could well just be a Sprint design, and you know what? They feel fine. They're very accurate, unlike the Nexus One.
Yeah.
Where well, you have to kind of hit the top.
Too. They're like the size of your thumb. I mean, they're really big.
They're really nice.
The keyboard is awesome. It's, you know, HTC's Sense UI keyboard, but on this huge screen, it's just incredible. The other thing that they did is there's no trackball. There's no like optical trackpad. They just give you four little directional buttons, and you can't, at least on the demo version that I had, they might change it. You couldn't hold your finger down, which is actually really annoying. You had to like tap, tap, tap to do direct selection.
What about notifications?
But the screen is so big, it doesn't matter. Well, notifications, like, the screen is so big, it doesn't matter because it's easier to hit a specific point because it's still, what's the resolution on the screen? Is it 800 by 480?
It's gotta be, yeah.
I think that's it. So, I mean, the text is really big, so it's easier to select. But it's got Android notifications. I don't know. What do you mean?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's no trackball. There's no... It was something somebody asked me. Let me think. All right. So everybody's comparing everything to the Nexus One right now.
Yeah.
It's got this huge light-up trackball. But you know what? Most other Android devices don't have a telltale like that for notifications.
Well, so. There's a light, but I think it's probably just a charging indicator.
Yeah.
So it doesn't freak me out too much.
On-screen notifications.
Yeah. It's coming out in summer. We don't know what the price will be. But man, it's a beastly phone. It's tough.
Is it enough to save Sprint?
I don't know. See, that's the thing. It's like, it's a beastly phone, but I don't know if it's going to appeal to, you know, a huge mass audience.
I think it just killed the excitement over getting the Nexus One on Sprint. Never mind the fact that it's not going to be marketed anyway. Well, probably. See, that was a whole weird thing, too. Sprint is the first carrier that came out and said, we're getting the Nexus One, other than when Verizon was initially announced.
Yeah.
The AT&T one, Google just said, oh, by the way, here it is with AT&T 3G bands.
Right.
But, you know, that same day, Sprint says, oh, wait, we're getting it, too.
I feel like the world was a better place before Android came along. You know, like, there was the iPhone, there was Blackberries, you know, different models, but it's a Blackberry. There's Palm, and, you know, take Android out. Palm with a couple models, you know, they got their revival. Things are nice and easy. The average person on the street with just a little bit of education can tell an iPhone from a Blackberry and probably a Palm, right?
Yeah.
Windows Mobile was never hit a critical mass that it, you know.
Windows Mobile, like, got almost up to 14-15% market share.
But
at
it
one
didn't.
Point.
It, but no independent device like got made enough of a kerfluffle to really like affect the average Joe.
No,
they just thought
no.
It was a BlackBerry.
You don't think the Droid has at least kind of cracked into that?
No, the Droid as one device.
Trying to pretend that Android doesn't exist right now.
No, I know. The Droid as a singular device, if it just stayed Droid, is good. But now it's like, oh my god, how's the average person now like?
Well, see, the thing with Android...
And it's all falling apart.
There's two things going on, and one thing is your point that I don't want to steal from you.
Right.
But the point I'll make is, like, I don't think... Like, people have freaked out that Google's allowing so much fragmentation, and I don't think they care. Like, I think that they actually don't care that there isn't, like, a big... monolithic brand behind it,
and
they want the phones to cycle through faster. Mm-hmm. They want to be more disposable, and so that like it's so weird that the Android platform is fragmented, and they currently have it powering things that are essentially feature phones that, for all intents and purposes, could just have a plain Java runtime, like a straight up you know, boring messenger OS, like the Backflip. Like the fact that Android is on that, it doesn't really mean anything to me. I don't want to say I don't consider it an Android phone.
It's becoming just a de facto.
But it's not like it's a messaging phone, right?
Yeah.
But and then on the other end of the spectrum, same platform is the Evo 4G. right? Completely different markets.
Yeah.
And so, like, to be an Android enthusiast and talk about Android, you kind of have to step away from thinking of it as a single brand that covers everything. And it's like, some of these phones are just, you know, disposables, and some of these are like part of the platform.
High-end market, low-end of the market.
But something else we're trying to get an answer on is with the Evo 4G and the Galaxy S, on the back of both, it says, with Google.
Yes.
Which traditionally was a designation reserved for kind of stock, you met Google specifications about
Google
the experience
really
on
helps
the phone.
You out. It doesn't have an extra UI on top of it, et cetera, et cetera. That,
like, so we're trying to track that down, and neither Samsung nor HTC has really had an answer for me on that.
They're going to rebrand Android to Google at some point with the Google OS.
No, because Google's got Chrome OS, so they won't want to do that. We'll see. That is weird, though. Do you want to talk about
Hang on. Before we get to that, because that's good, I just want to blow through a couple of the other Android devices we saw.
Okay.
The Dell Aero, which is coming out on AT&T.
They wouldn't turn on.
They wouldn't turn it on for anybody. It's ridiculous. I'm sorry. If you're bringing your phone to your show, turn the damn thing on. Otherwise, it's a piece of plastic. And it feels kind of plasticky. It actually feels really good in the hand. It's a really sleek device, really thin, kind of almost like a Magic Mouse.
Okay.
Like for the Mac. Very, very stylish like that.
Swoopy.
But other than that, can't tell you anything. They didn't turn it on. So Kyocera is back. That's like an old school.
Oh,
that's
man.
An old school brand.
That's an old school brand.
Kyocera Palm devices back in the day? Those were some sweet smartphones.
Really?
Oh, yeah. They had some Palm OS phones that were really good.
They're going – they are absolutely going low-end and saying as such.
I mean, yeah.
They're talking like $200 unlocked, you know, unsubsidized. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the rumored price of this thing. And it felt good in the hand. I mean, it felt cheap. It was slow. But, you know, if you want a cheap
hand. It felt good. It was cheap and slow.
Yeah, you know. Okay. But it felt good. And I'm sure I could throw it a long ways.
I don't know.
So we had that.
Is it like cheerleading? You're cheerleading for the brand?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Look good. It was slow.
We had that. Am I forgetting anything? We had the awesome.
What about the Dell phone?
That's we talked about.
The Aero.
We wouldn't turn it on.
Yeah.
We're right here, man.
I was listening.
Okay.
We had the awesome. We had the awesome picture when we first got here of Kevin kneeing the giant Android robot.
That was really the post of the show for me, to be honest.
I still want to get a picture of Phil like abasing himself before it, bowing down.
Yeah, we should do that today.
You should bow to the
like
Android
an idol.
Robot.
Yeah.
Now the funny thing is that photo you took though was done on an Android phone.
Yes,
because
took that on the Nexus One.
I had my BlackBerry in my pocket, so it's kind of funny.
Phil tried to root and put a new ROM up on my Nexus One, and we had to.
It wasn't my fault. There was something wrong with the ROM.
Yeah,
it was dead for a whole day, which was fine.
Fixed it this morning.
Yeah, he fixed it this morning. He did a
before I ate.
Job.
I
it
still haven't even showered.
Yeah, neither have I. We should shower. Not
little
together.
Little Buddha no longer
should
serves
we podcast
Kobe
the shower?
Sliders.
Wow.
Yeah. All right.
Little
digression.
Little Buddha no longer has Kobe beef.
You still
sliders.
Haven't made your big. Little Buddha no longer has Kobe beef sliders.
Okay, so here's really my big point for this show, which is very interesting. So when I rewind 2-3 years to like our first smartphone round robin, we were in a specs race then. It was all about which phone could have 3G. Wi-Fi, GPS, and actually
Bluetooth.
Get through a day of battery life. And Bluetooth assumed kind of thing. Oh, but yeah, but not everything on A2GP, right?
Yeah.
So even that was like,
it was
the specs race.
It was getting those radios and making it through a day. And like, and then the secondary thing was you'd not like to have a big screen, but it wasn't essential.
Yeah.
Like,
and camera was like two megapixel bottom line or three would be like top notch. And then all of a sudden over the past 12 months, 18 months, it shifted from specs because everybody started hitting that. And then it became more the OS and apps race, right? Apple's got the apps, you know, blah, 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 apps race, app race, you know, Palm Web OS, do something innovative here. Like it was competing on software.
It was, it was a nicer kind of place to be in. It was a lot more interesting.
Hey, by the way, none of the phones we've seen this week have physical keyboards at all. Just saying.
It's true.
Just throwing that.
That's very true. No, that's a sign of
the Palm Pre Plus. Pixie Plus.
Yeah, that's
true. Take that back. Not true at all.
Oh, yeah, I guess we got to count them.
Sprint Curve 8530 and Ruby Red.
Really? That's their announcement? They got a new color?
They didn't announce it, but they soft launched it last week, I think. It's kind of pretty.
Anyway, so we had the spec race, and then we had software innovation and apps race.
And now I feel like things have kind of settled there. The, you know, everything's like, hey, Android's,
we've seen the new OS.
Android's growing. It's got momentum. We know BlackBerry's doing some stuff, but everything's kind of there. And now all of a sudden, we're back on the specs race again. It's like, well, crap, I want 8-megapixel camera and a front-facing one, and I want a tilt stand, and I want a big screen somehow, and I want Super AMOLED, and I want.
It'll be interesting to see what happens this summer and what Apple announces, to see if they'll be able to change the conversation back to software again, because they really want to, because I don't think Apple wants to play in this game. They don't want to have to make a phone that has better specs than the Evo 4G.
Because they like to make money, right?
And they're,
yeah, right.
They got good margin. They want to like...
And they're not going to change specs that drastically that quickly.
Well, yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't so far. So,
but yeah, no, you're right. We're absolutely in a like, there's the apps race and there's a specs race.
Yeah,
and like it's accelerating. But I mean, that's the nature of the thing. We've got too many mobile OSs out there right now. There's just too many of them, and some of them are going to fall by the wayside. And so any little edge or advantage that a company can get, they're going to push it. And so it ends up looking to watching the industry like speeds and feeds, which, you know, that's the way it is, because everybody changed their software and like innovated on that, and like nobody fell out. Nobody like absolutely won. iPhone was close, but everybody else is still in the game. And so it's like, well, we're not going to convince people to, you know, kill something off or stick with us based solely on telling a story about the software. Apple might try to do it again, and who knows? We'll see if they succeed. So if we can't win on software elegance, we're going to win on speeds and feeds. We're going to win on specs.
Yeah.
An app count.
Mm-hmm.
You're genius, Kevin.
Interesting times. What else we got?
I promise the metaphor.
Oh, yeah. What's your new metaphor?
So we're like, the mobile phone industry is like the car industry. And where we are right now in the growth of it is basically like the mid-50s in the cars. Things are moving much faster. We got there more quickly. And so the time that we're in right now in the mobile phone industry, we're basically adding fins to cars. That's what's going on right now.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
We got the automatic
transmission. That was, you know, innovating on software. We got the Model T, which was ubiquity, everybody getting it. Then we got automatic transmission.
It's on BlackBerry, the Model T, since it only came in black.
Pretty much. And now we're adding fins and, you know, power windshield wipers.
Yeah, it's kind of true.
Whatever.
Lots of doohickeys.
That's right. Some people still want to drive a manual stick. Some people are old school and, you know, want to crank something.
And then, like, things like seatbelts, that's, you know, the efficiency and battery life.
Let's say it's security.
Security.
Yeah, gas mileage and battery life. Yeah, we shouldn't take this metaphor much further.
Yeah. Gas mileage is battery life. That works really well. Seatbelts, airbags, security. Damn. That's a good one.
Well, and there's different markets now. And so
absolutely.
We always say,
big four.
What's the best car? Well, that's a stupid question, right? Nobody says, what's the best car ever? So saying, what's the best phone ever?
It's very true, though, because you got the domestics, right? And then you've got, you know, it's a different game overseas. Nobody really cares, you know, if Android's or whoever. Let's call them GM or something.
The cars in Europe are completely different, but sort of similar. Yeah.
Some things we don't know, and this is questions I've been getting all week. Still don't know when the Verizon Nexus One is coming.
Yeah.
That's just been the longest, weirdest road.
It's very odd.
I'm sure Verizon's...
Are they getting a Nexus One or Nexus Two?
No, Nexus One.
Nexus One. I'm sure Verizon's holding something up because Google probably doesn't want to change it.
You know what it is? They Verizon, since they're so stringent on stuff, they're making Google or HTC fix the capacitive buttons.
Probably. It's...
I'd be jealous, actually, if they did that.
Have to buy a third one, wouldn't I? Don't know that. Still don't know when the Droid 2.1 update's coming.
Yeah.
Or the Hero update, or the Moment update, or the backflip.
I got something I'd like to talk about, because you mentioned it with updates.
Uh-huh.
How come nobody gives, you know, Palm credit that with WebOS it's the only platform that does over-the-air updates properly?
I was on this rant at dinner last night. They do. They're the only company that does over-the-air updates right. Like, when there's always drama about when it's going to land, but when it does, they got it launched on like five or six different kinds of hardware on as many carriers, five, six, seven carriers in lots of countries over the air within a week. And unlike Android, when the update lands and it's available, you can go get it right away over the air. you can wait for them to actually push it out to you and send you the notification, but you don't have to wait till for like your turn to come 3 days later. If you're in the know and you know it's there, you can go get it. And you know, the only other company that has been able to keep a platform across multiple carriers that up to date is Apple, but even they can't do it over the air. They have to push, you know, tether it out to your computer. So Palm doesn't get enough credit for that. That's a good point. And what Android, type in, but Phil? See, here's the thing. I think Google knows this, obviously. And everybody's saying updates are coming. I think it's possible that in like a year or so, Google will have that mostly figured out. And like basically any Android phone that isn't just a straight boring messaging phone, any like mid to high tier Android phone, I think is going to get updates in a decent amount of time. I want to believe that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I believe that, but I want to believe that.
Kevin asked what I'm typing. As we're podcasting, there's a rumor going around that the Verizon Nexus One has in fact been released.
Oh,
what?
Yeah.
and I found it on some, we got a tip, and there's this random website that I've never heard of in my life that says it was officially launched and released today at the CTIA.
Maybe we should have been podcasting.
Yeah. You shouldn't be swearing on the podcast either.
That wasn't a swear. Oh, okay. That was a she. We actually talked about this on a Crackberry podcast.
That you guys swear and we don't.
Yeah, and I was like, do you know, after the Mobile World Congress podcast, we had a debate about editing over a swear that got dropped. And I made really like a lot of fun of you guys.
Wow.
It was really funny.
What can I say, man?
Yeah. And then we got a bunch of emails saying like, really? They care about that? I think our Crackberry listeners are just a little more open to... Or maybe we'd like...
Whiskey Tango?
What's that mean?
Go look it up.
Look it up on my BlackBerry.
I think we should wrap up this podcast.
Thank you, everybody.
That was a good one. I enjoyed that, guys. Good times.
For you Android guys, we got another regularly scheduled podcast coming this week.
And last night's Palmcast for you Pre-Central folks should be coming soon, too. Crackberry's got nothing.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm on BlackBerry Messenger. See you guys. Talk to you from Wes.
All right, guys, we'll talk to you later. Thanks.
See ya.